Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the program that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the NFL. On this edition of the program, we'll recap the 2024 Pro Bowl games. Also, we'll give you an insight on the new head coaching hirings in the NFL. And yeah, we got a big game to prepare for. That's right. Between the AFC champion, Kansas City Chiefs, and the NFC champion, San Francisco 49ers. So stay tuned. We got a great show for you right here. I like to start off with my top three storylines. I like to start off talking about the Los Angeles Chargers and specifically Jim Harbaugh. So it's official. After spending almost nine seasons at the University of Michigan, winning that national championship, and just doing so many great things with the University of Michigan at Ann Arbor, his alma mater, Jim Harbaugh returns to the NFL. That's right. Harbaugh accepted a position to coach in the NFL with the Los Angeles Chargers. He signed a five-year deal. And I have to tell you, this is going to be perfect for Harbaugh and perfect for the Chargers. The Chargers, they have the team. They have the defense with Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, Derwin James Jr., just to name a few. On the offensive side, they've got Keenan Allen. Could Austin Eckler return as the running back for the Chargers? We'll have to see. I know Coach Harbaugh is going to have some say-so in terms of trying to bring Austin Eckler back to the Chargers. And, of course, it's a quarterback's league, right? Justin Herbert, what more can you say, right? So the team is ready. They were just missing a coach. Brandon Staley. God bless Brandon Staley. God bless him. Hey, he had the team. They needed the coach. Coach Staley just couldn't cut the mustard. He had the talent, just couldn't do it. So that being said, this is a new era with the other team in Los Angeles. Yeah, the Los Angeles Chargers and Jim Harbaugh signing a five-year contract to be the team's head coach. So you know about Coach Harbaugh's pedigree his first time around in the NFL. He was the head coach in that team in Northern California in the Bay Area, the San Francisco 49ers. Four seasons with the 49ers, took them to three NFC championship games in four seasons, including a Super Bowl appearance. And for so long, there was the rumor mill. There was the talk about Coach Harbaugh wanting to get back to the NFL as quickly as possible if the opportunity presented itself. Still had that bad taste in his mouth from losing the Super Bowl. Of course, losing to his brother in the Super Bowl in New Orleans to the Baltimore Ravens in a very great and a very compelling game. And he still had that bad taste in his mouth from losing that Super Bowl to his brother. And he winds up having an issue with management, specifically with Trent Baalke. Harbaugh is shown the door, goes to his alma mater, becomes the head coach. This past year, winning a national championship, and the opportunity presented itself for him to coach again in the NFL. And this is a great move. It's a win-win for both Harbaugh and the Chargers. This is a win for Harbaugh because he's got the talent surrounding him, the quarterback. He's got the offense. He's got the defense. And he's ready to compete not just in the NFL, but specifically in the AFC. His quarterback, Justin Herbert, listen, he's a generational talent, a once-in-a-lifetime talent. Herbert, he's got his hands full with other quarterbacks in the AFC. Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa, Lamar Jackson, Trevor Lawrence, and yeah, that guy named Patrick Mahomes, he's pretty good too. So, you know, the Harbaugh, it's a win-win for him. As I stated early, he's got the talent, and it's a win-win. It's a win for the Chargers because, hey, the Chargers, since they've been in L.A., they've been second fiddle to the Rams. Now, this could be this 2024 season is a this is going to be highly anticipated. This could be the opportunity for the Chargers to get ahead of the Rams and say, you know what? We're no longer second fiddle. We've got our coach. We've got our quarterback. We've got the offense. We've got the defensive pieces intact. We have the opportunity to compete, at least get to the AFC championship, maybe even play for the Lombardi. So it's a win-win for both Jim Harbaugh and for the Los Angeles Chargers. So again, congratulations to Jim Harbaugh on being the new head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. Big day for the Chargers. And now this is an opportunity for Justin Herbert and that offense to finally take things to the next level. Not just the offense, but just the whole the team as a whole, from defense to special teams. And I know Charger fans and NFL fans, including myself, such as, you know, broadcasters, podcasters, journalists, are excited to see Jim Harbaugh get a second crack at it in the NFL. My next storyline is going to be the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons, after firing Arthur Smith, they hit the jackpot and they hire Raheem Morris. If you know about Raheem Morris, a two-time Super Bowl winner as a coach, he won his first Super Bowl as a defensive quality control coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then he won the Super Bowl just a few years ago as the defensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Rams. So when you think of Raheem Morris, you think of defense. And this is his second go-round as a head coach. He was the head coach for several seasons with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Things didn't work out. Wind up becoming an assistant coach and then served some time as a position coach. And now he's getting his second crack at being a head coach. And I think this time around is going to be good for Raheem. He's got young talent around him. Offensively, the pieces are there. Bijan Robinson, fantastic season, fantastic rookie year for him. A great tight end with Kyle Pitts. I don't know what's going to happen at the quarterback position, if Desmond Ridder is the future or maybe Taylor Heineke. We'll see what happens as time goes on with what Raheem wants to do. But defensively, the Falcons need help. The Falcons, for almost several decades, have been an offensive-minded team. But defensively, they just haven't had it. And with Raheem Morris becoming the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Coach Morris is going to bring something that's desperately needed to that franchise, and that's going to be defense. As I stated earlier, they've got the running game. They've got Cordarrelle Patterson is there, too, with the Falcons. So we'll see what happens with Coach Morris and the quarterback situation, but this is going to be a big boost on the defensive side. And so, again, congratulations to the Atlanta Falcons, and congratulations to Raheem Morris for getting another shot of becoming a head coach in the NFL. And by the way, this is Raheem's second run with the Falcons as well. Previously, he was an assistant coach and also served as a position coach in numerous positions. So again, congratulations to Raheem Morris. And for my last storyline is going to be the Washington Commanders, and specifically Dan Quinn. We talk about Jim Harbaugh and Raheem Morris getting another shot at being an NFL head coach. Well, guess what? Dan Quinn, he gets another shot as well, too. He was the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons for several seasons, including making a Super Bowl appearance. We know about 28-3. We know how that turned out, right? Tom Brady, New England Patriots. Enough said. Bottom line is this: successful with the Falcons. Then he's released from his duties, and then he spends a couple of seasons as the defensive coordinator with the Dallas Cowboys. Now, before that, he served as a defensive coordinator. He was the defensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks for two seasons, including the year that they won the Super Bowl, right? One of the architects of the Legion of Boom defense, Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, also Michael Bennett, KJ Wright, Bobby Wagner, just to name a few. So he's got experience winning the Lombardi. And so he's been a position coach, being a defensive line coach, being an assistant coach, and serving as a defensive coordinator. So this is a great move for the Commanders. They needed someone not just with championship pedigree, but with somebody with a toughness. Now, similar to the Falcons with Raheem Morris, now Jim Harbaugh, the Chargers have their quarterback. Atlanta, we don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be. Washington, we don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be. Is Sam Howell the long-term answer? Is he a short-term answer? We don't know what's going to happen with Sam. But again, Coach Quinn, he's going to look at everything that's around him. He does have a running game with Brian Robinson Jr. He's got one of the best wide receivers in the league with Terry McLaurin. Also, Jahan Dotson's really good, too. Also, De'Ami Brown. Logan Thomas is a nice tight end as well. Defensively, the trade deadline, not only did the Commanders trade Chase Young. They also traded Montez Sweat. So I know Coach Quinn, defense is his specialty. So he's going to come in and try to make some changes on the defensive side. But already the Commanders, they have a lot of cap space. They're one of the few teams in the league that has a lot of cap space. They can sign a lot of free agents. They can go into the draft and could hit a home run with a quarterback. Drake May, Jaden Daniels. We'll see what happens. But in any rate, Dan Quinn, back in the NFL as a head coach, he's the new head coach of the Washington Commanders. And congratulations to Dan Quinn and the Commanders ownership group, wasting no time on making moves. Of course, the majority owner of the team, Josh Harris, also the minority owner of the team, Irvin Magic Johnson. And then you've got the new general manager, Adam Peters, coming over from the San Francisco 49ers. So again, congratulations to Dan Quinn on becoming a new head coach of the Washington Commanders, getting his second run as a head coach in the NFL. All right, here's some more news to pass along to you before we move along in the program. So earlier on, I talked about Jim Harbaugh becoming the new head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, Raheem Morris becoming the new head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, and Dan Quinn becoming the new head coach of the Washington Commanders. Also, some important news to pass along to you in terms of head coaches. So Dave Canales is the new head coach of the Carolina Panthers. Dave was the offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He accepted the position as the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. So again, congratulations to Dave Canales, who is the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. Also, the New England Patriots, they have their new head coach with Gerard Mayo. Of course, Gerard served as a defensive coach for the Patriots, being under Bill Belichick for many decades, not just as a player, but recently as a position coach. So again, congratulations to Gerard Mayo being the head coach of the New England Patriots. Mike McDonald, defensive coordinator, also served as a defensive assistant for a long time for the Baltimore Ravens. He's headed to the Pacific Northwest to become the new head coach of the Seattle Seahawks after Pete Carroll was relieved from his duties as the head coach. And that's big. Again, Pete Carroll, his pedigree is defense. Mike McDonald, his pedigree is defense. So again, that's going to be interesting how Seattle plays this thing out. Is Geno Smith going to be the one? Is Geno Smith will hang around for another year, 2 years? We'll see what happens. But congratulations to Mike McDonald, head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. Brian Callahan is the new head coach of the Tennessee Titans. So after Mike Vrabel was relieved from his duties, Callahan was a longtime offensive assistant and recently the offensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals, guiding Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Mixon, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, just to name a few. Callahan heads from Cincinnati to Music City, USA in Nashville to become the new head coach of the Tennessee Titans. So congratulations to Brian Callahan on his position as the new head coach of the Tennessee Titans. Also, I mentioned about the Washington Commanders earlier with Dan Quinn. Cliff Kingsbury, previously the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, he's going to be the new offensive coordinator for the Commanders. Eric Bieniemy previously served as the assistant head coach and the offensive coordinator for the Commanders. He's been relieved from his duties as the offensive coordinator. So we've got Cliff Kingsbury as the new offensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders. And also, speaking of the Commanders, new defensive coordinator, Joe Witt Jr. Previously, Joe was the secondary coach for the Dallas Cowboys, guiding the defensive backs and the safeties. So Joe Witt Jr., the new defensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders. So that's big. And I know Dan Quinn wasting no time getting his staff together, making sure his offensive coordinator and his defensive coordinator is right. So again, congrats to Cliff Kingsbury, the new offensive coordinator for the Commanders, and Joe Witt Jr., the new defensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders. All right, now it's time to recap the 2024 Pro Bowl games. If you didn't get an opportunity to watch it, it was a lot of fun. And man, I tell you one thing, watching the flag football and just some of the events in the gridiron gauntlet. Man, it reminded me a lot of childhood and even to a lot of extent, teenage years, just playing with your friends, playing flag football, just so much fun. And I was so glad to see a lot of the players in the league, you know, let their guard down and just relax and have fun and take part not only in the flag football, but most importantly, the skills competitions. So let's start off with the recap of what happened with the 2024 Pro Bowl games. Thursday, we had precision passing. And in this event, the quarterbacks that participated were C.J. Stroud from the Houston Texans, Baker Mayfield from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Gardner Minshew from the Indianapolis Colts, Geno Smith from the Seattle Seahawks, Jalen Hurts from the Philadelphia Eagles, and Tua Tagovailoa from the Miami Dolphins. C.J. Stroud and Baker Mayfield were the top two finishers. They had the two highest scores. In round one, C.J. Stroud had a score of 26, and on Baker Mayfield, he had a score of 24. They had the two highest scores, so they would face each other off in the final round. It was a close one, but Baker would go on to beat C.J. 9-8. So after precision passing, which was the first event, the NFC would take a 3-0 lead. Precision passing basically is an accuracy competition in which each quarterback from both conferences attempts to hit as many targets as possible in 1 minute. So that's how precision passing works. So Baker Mayfield would win the precision passing event. So his team, he represented the NFC. So the NFC would take a 3-0 lead over the AFC. Next competition was high stakes. High stakes was a multi-round competition in which players attempted to catch the most punts from a special machine without dropping other balls. And again, Miles Killebrew, representing the Pittsburgh Steelers, he won the event representing the AFC. He wound up catching a punt while holding five other footballs. So the AFC, thanks to Miles Killebrew, won the high stakes competition. It tied it up at 3, AFC 3, NFC 3. The next event that they had was golf. We took a break from football and went over to golf. So we had a competition called Closest to the Pin, which is a golf accuracy competition in which six players from each conference attempted to drive a golf ball to as close to the hole as possible. So again, this is Closest to the Pin, and Brian Anger from the NFC, who is the punter for the Dallas Cowboys, would win the event on a second attempt with a shot that landed 2 feet from the hole. So with Brian winning the event representing the NFC would take a 6-3 lead. The next event that we had was snapshots. Snapshots involved long snappers and centers snapped balls at various targets with different sizes and point values. And Andrew DePaula led the NFC with 9 points. Andrew is the long snapper for the Minnesota Vikings. So the NFC won the event. They scored 14 points over the AFC's 10 points. So again, as I stated earlier, Andrew DePaula led the NFC with 9 points. So after the snapshots competition, the NFC led the AFC 9-3. Now, if this doesn't remind you of elementary school or PE class, I don't know what does, right? Next event, dodgeball. Basically, you know how the rules are with dodgeball is, right? Whoever gets hit first, the points, basically this comprised of 4 teams of 5 players representing defense and offense from each conference. And basically each point was worth, they would earn 3 points for each conference. The AFC offense defeated the NFC defense in the first game. In the second game, the NFC offense defeated the AFC defense. So, 3 points for each conference. So, it would be NFC 12, AFC 6 after dodgeball. So, that completed Thursday's events with the NFC leading 12-6 over the AFC. So after Thursday's events, the score leading up into Sunday's events was NFC 12, AFC 6. So we conclude Sunday's events with the kick-tack-toe competition. Each team's kicker played a version of tic-tac-toe where they kicked balls towards a giant board. Guess what? The AFC would win. So the AFC got three more points. So the NFC had their lead cut 12-9. Next up, the first quarter of flag football. You talk about a lot of fun. It was amazing. So they played the first quarter. The AFC outscored the NFC 12-7. So they totaled up the points, and the AFC would have a lead, total 21-19. The next event was one of my favorites, Move the Chains. Move the Chains was basically a race competed by both by teams of five players from both the NFC and the AFC. The first had to move 3,000 pounds of weight off of a wall and then pull the 2,000-pound weight across the finish line. And this game was held between first and the second quarters of the flag football game. NFC, very successful. They gained 3 points. So the NFC would regain the lead 22-21. We resumed flag football and we had the second quarter. And the AFC outscored the NFC 26-14. So points were tallied up in total and AFC would lead 47-36. Next up, we had the Madden NFL head-to-head competition. The first half was Puka Nacua from the Los Angeles Rams going up against David Njoku from the Cleveland Browns. And then we had Micah Parsons playing in the second half going up against Tyreek Hill in the second half. The NFC was successful, comprising of both Nacua and Parsons, and 3 points were added to the NFC. So the lead was AFC's lead was cut 47-39. We had the first race in the gridiron gauntlet. And I tell you one thing, this was probably, in my opinion, next to the flag football, one of my favorite events. The gridiron gauntlet was basically an obstacle course that involved a couple of key events, such as High Point, where a player had to jump to test their agility and hit a football. And they also had the tire flip, just to name a few that was involved in the relay race through the obstacle course. The NFC kicked major butt in the first race. So the AFC had their lead cut 47-42. Next event was Best Catch. Representing the NFC was Puka Nacua going up against David Njoku representing the AFC. Basically, in the best catch contest, this was up to the players to decide how they would complete their best catch. Puka completed his catches by being on a jet ski, while David Njoku attempted his catches by being on the diving board and doing dives. And there was a fan vote, and the fans voted that Puka Nacua did the best catches. So the lead was cut. The NFC would cut the AFC's lead by 2, 47-45. Next up, the second race in the gridiron gauntlet. Again, the NFC was just unstoppable. If you watched it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. The NFC was just amazing in that second race in the gridiron gauntlet. And the NFC would take the lead 48-47. The third quarter would begin in the flag football, and the AFC, they bounced back. I'm sorry, the NFC would continue their lead. The NFC would win the third quarter in flag football over the AFC. The NFC outscored the AFC 7-6. So the NFC would have a 55-53 lead. The next event we had was tug of war. Never close. If you watch tug of war, it was never close. The NFC, they manhandled the NFC. They had two tug of war contests. Again, flag football, obstacle course. Man, listen, you name it. Sounds like a lot of fun. Elementary school, PE, the whole nine yards. The NFC just dominated in the tug of war, and the NFC took a 58-53 lead. And then we had the fourth quarter, the final quarter in the flag football game. Both teams scored 6 points each, but in the end, the NFC would beat the AFC 64-59. On a fourth and goal, CJ Stroud, quarterback for the AFC, he had an opportunity to complete a pass. His pass was batted down in the end zone, short. The NFC beats the AFC 64-59 in the 2024 Pro Bowl games, giving the NFC and its coach Eli Manning its second straight victory in the Pro Bowl games. And this was a lot of fun. I mean, this again, people had concerns about the Pro Bowl, the game getting rid of, but this is a lot of fun. The skills competition, the flag football, this is really a lot of fun. Then you incorporate Madden, the video game. It's really so much fun. Then you've got the closest to the pin. You put a little golf in there, the tug of war. It's a lot of fun. And we had our offensive MVP from the NFC, Baker Mayfield from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the defensive MVP representing the NFC, DeMario Davis from the New Orleans Saints. So again, the final score, the NFC 64, AFC 59. The NFC, led again by head coach Eli Manning, the NFC wins their second straight Pro Bowl games. Meanwhile, Peyton Manning still chasing, still trying to get on winning ways in the Pro Bowl game. So it was a lot of fun. It was very wonderful to see the players out there that we watched all season long, you know, just kind of a chance to let their hair down and relax and chill out and just have fun and just, you know, take a load off and just to be in sunny South Florida and be in Orlando. And certainly a lot of fun just to celebrate all the hard work that they've put in during the NFL season to be selected to the Pro Bowl and participate in the Pro Bowl games. So again, the final score, the NFC 64, led by head coach Eli Manning, the AFC 59, led by head coach Peyton Manning. So we go from the fun and laid-back attitude of the Pro Bowl games to the big game. That's right. We got the big game coming up in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium, the first ever Super Bowl to be played in Las Vegas, where we have the AFC champion Kansas City Chiefs going up against the NFC champion San Francisco 49ers. The Kansas City Chiefs made their way to the big dance, beating the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC Championship game 17-10. As for the San Francisco 49ers, they had to claw, fight, and scratch their way. And they also had some help, you know, thanks to the 49ers defense committing turnovers. And Brock Purdy, hey, Brock was Brock. Mr. Irrelevant, huh? He was relevant in the comeback victory as the 49ers would beat the Detroit Lions 34-31 to win the NFC Championship as they would punch their ticket to the big game. So we've got a big game we're getting ready for at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. It's the first ever Super Bowl in Las Vegas, and it's going to be a lot of people there. I mean, hey, well, a lot. I'm exaggerating, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. So we've got a big one in Las Vegas between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. So much star power, so much intensity, and it's going to be, you know, one heck of a week leading up to the big game. And that's going to do it for this edition of the League Wraparound. Until next time, everybody, I'm Matt Robinson saying so long, and you take care.
Trying to get home to stream that highly anticipated series finale? Well, it may take longer with T-Mobile 5G home internet. You could be stuck with slower speeds during the busiest hours because you share your network with cell phone users. Why deal with that? Switch to Cox internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours. Plus, Cox offers free panoramic Wi-Fi equipment and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Why not switch? Visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ruben Patel with Patient Plus Urgent Care. These days, it can be hard to find the time and money to take care of yourself. We're here to help with our new Urgent Care membership. Starting at $20 a month, the same as your car wash membership, visit any of our locations for that scratchy throat, runny nose, fever, chills, or any injury. Visit patientplusuc.com/membership for more information. patientplusuc.com/membership.
You've seen his specials on Amazon, Netflix, Showtime, and more.
Don't miss an evening with Steve Trevino.
Babe, can I go with Steve and have a drink at the casino? And then she started to speak wife. She looked at him right in the face and she goes, "You can do whatever you want." And his dumb goes, "Told you." I go, "Oh, no, no, no. It's a trap. It's a trap."
Steve Trevino.
Saturday, February 10th, Beau Rivage.
It's on sale now at BeauRivage.com.
Must be 12, accompanied by someone 21 plus at all times. Schedule subject to change. Some restrictions may apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ruben Patel with Patient Plus Urgent Care. These days, it can be hard to find the time and money to take care of yourself. We're here to help with our new Urgent Care membership. Starting at $20 a month, the same as your car wash membership, visit any of our locations for that scratchy throat, runny nose, fever, chills, or any injury. Visit patientplusuc.com/membership for more information. patientplusuc.com/membership.
You've seen his specials on Amazon, Netflix, Showtime, and more.
Don't miss an evening with Steve Trevino.
"Babe, can I go with Steve and have a drink at the casino?" And then she started to speak wife. She looked at him right in the face and she goes, "You can do whatever you want." And his dumb goes, "Told you." I go, "Oh, no, no, no. It's a trap. It's a trap."
Steve Trevino.
Saturday, February 10th, Beau Rivage.
It's on sale now at BeauRivage.com.
Must be 12, accompanied by someone 21 plus at all times. Schedule subject to change. Some restrictions may apply.
Trying to get home to stream that highly anticipated series finale? Well, it may take longer with T-Mobile 5G home internet. You could be stuck with slower speeds during the busiest hours because you share your network with cell phone users. Why deal with that? Switch to Cox internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours. Plus, Cox offers free panoramic Wi-Fi equipment and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Why not switch? Visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion. T-Mobile 5G home internet can leave you with slower speeds during its busiest hours. Why deal with that? Switch to Cox internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours. Visit cox.com/5G home to learn more.